Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
We now move into Halachas on Shabbos, part 4. This is Siman Pei, the 80th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Again, the longest Siman in all of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, because there's a lot of melachos on Shabbos. What we're doing is we're looking through the most practical of those melachos as the Kitzur outlines them, and then we look at some of the practical applications that relate to them as well. Today, we are going to be looking through seven melachos today, and they are Tzad, which is hunting, Shochet, which is killing, Abed, which is tanning, Memareach, which is spreading, Mechateich, which is cutting, and then Ksiva and mechika, which is writing and erasing. Let's jump straight in. Tzad, which is hunting, again, starts a new ma'areches, a new sidra, a section of melachos of Shabbos, and this is where one traps an animal, and usually it was done in the times of the Mishkan to trap an animal in order to be able to kill it and get its skin and use the skin, the leather, for the construction of the Mishkan. That's generally how it appeared in the biblical experience. Now, so a few basics that relate to us. Can I just catch a fly? The answer is no. So that means I'm not, forget killing it. You're not allowed to kill animals or flies on Shabbos. But one, even like grabbing in one's hand, one's not allowed to do it. What happens if it just bit me or the mosquito just bit me? So in that case, one can take it away and throw it away. One cannot kill it. People seem to think that once something's biting you or threatening you, it's allowed. It's not allowed. You're not allowed to do that. If there's a baby and there's a bee, there's a significant concern, and one cannot escape and get out, go into a different area, it may be different. In that case, there may be other alternatives to trapping and so on. But one cannot just simply trap or kill animals or insects on Shabbos because it's bothering one. But if, let's say, it has bitten one, one's allowed to take it away and brush it away, or even take it and put it somewhere else. And that's because in a case of animal, let's say like a fly, which is not usually hunted, and mosquitoes aren't usually hunted, like we're talking, hunting is usually for animals which have something to contribute, let's say a deer or so on, then it's an Issur Dirabbanan, is Bamakom Tzar or Lo Gozru in this case. Now, any other applications? The answer is yes. One has to be careful not to close a cabinet that there is a fly inside, because it will trap the fly by closing the door. So what happens if I wave out the flies? But I can't tell. There might be, and you know, those little fruit flies that just, like, you know, seem to never have enough intelligence to be anywhere except the place you didn't expect them to be. So what happens if I've waved them out of the cabinet, and there might just be one or two behind the plates which I can't see? In that case, it's fine, because as long as it's not a definite, a psik ratio, that I'm going to close the door and trap them, then it's not a problem. But then if that's the case, then I shouldn't be allowed to close the front door of my house, because surely there might be a fly somewhere in my house. The answer is no problem, because that's not considered trapping it. Trapping it is when I'm closing them in an enclosure, in which in that enclosure I can just b'shchiachas, in one swoop, be able to capture that fly. So in a cabinet, that's credible. In a house, that's not credible as well. If, let's say, a deer were to walk into one's house, one would not be allowed to close the door if it's a smaller house, because in that case, the deer is practically trapped or in a room. But for a fly, that's not the case. Let's move on to the next one, which is Shochet. Shochet was the melacha where an animal was shechted. So this is when they would kill the animal, and then they would remove its skin. So do we ever do that on Shabbos? I mean, is it already killing on Shabbos? So the answer is, well, an extension of that is extracting blood, which is a problem as well. So when do we do this? So let's say one has bleeding gums. One's not allowed to suck them on Shabbos. Somebody, one's not allowed to squeeze a wound or wrap a bandage tightly around it to extract the blood or the pus. That is considered an extension of shchita. On that topic, what about biting fingernails? So removing fingernails or biting cuticles is a problem. And it's not a problem actually of shochet, but of goizes, which is shearing. One's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. What happens if a nail is hanging? If it's really hanging and it's hurting a person, one is allowed to remove one's hand, but because it's considered detached at that point in time, but not with a kli, not with a utensil as well. People are not aware of this, and it seems to be that people only do this when they get to davening. That's when they don't feel like they're in their zone, and they don't know enough about how to appreciate the davening. If a lot of people start biting their nails, it's not allowed on Shabbos. And if one's going to bite one's nails because one bites them during the week, it's best to try to get out of that bad habit, so one's not going to be in the situation on Shabbos itself. We now move to our next melacha, which is Ma'abed. Ma'abed is tanning. So once the skin had been removed, this is the 28th melacha on Shabbos, Well, I would take the skin and tan it, which is when you soak it in chemicals, and these chemicals would now soften the material and allow it to be used in such a way that it could be used as parchment. So do we really do that? Is there any applications of this? The answer is a few. So can I add salt to food? The answer is yes and no. Yes, if the food is edible without the salt and the salt is just adding taste, no problem. But if the food is completely inedible without the salt, one is not allowed to add salt because that is like the tanning process. One is now processing this through food for it as well. So like an example of this is eggplant as an example. You cannot eat eggplant raw. You need to salt it or add something or cook it for it to be edible. You're not allowed to do the salting process on Shabbos. What are examples? So let's say I'm allowed to add salt to cooked meat, to cooked eggs, to eat in the meal, right? I'm not allowed to set salt for later meals, but I'm allowed to add to my meal now. But I'm not allowed to add salt to raw cucumbers, radishes, onions, or the mass salting of cooked legumes, which will remain hard after cooking. For something raw which needs salt to be eaten, is there any allowance? The answer is yes. One can dip in salt and eat each piece. Once allowed to have sort of immediate to the eating, one can dip that item in the salt and eat it right then. But I cannot salt and leave it because that would be more similar to the process of ma'abed itself as it was biblically. Can I add salt to a salad that I'm about to serve at a meal, if it has raw radish or raw cucumber or raw onion, which might be a problem with salt? And the answer is yes, because the salt is not just the salt. You add salt into the salad dressing. There's vinegar, there's other things as well, and therefore it doesn't serve as a process of salting. It's really to add taste. Can I pickle things? The answer is no. One is not allowed to add vegetables into vinegar or brine on Shabbos to pickle them as a function of this as well. There's another issur over there, which is the issur of bishul. If one leaves something to soak for more than 24 hours, that's also a processing, which is like bishul. We also learned in Siman Lamed Vav in 36 that meat needs to be salted within 33 days of shechita, of shechting the animal. If the blood has become embedded enough in the meat, one is no longer allowed to salt it. One may not eat it. What happens if the third day after shechita is Shabbos and realize, oi, I didn't salt it. If I don't salt it now on Shabbos, I'm not going to be able to eat it. So in this case, you can do Amir la'akum. You can ask a non-Jew to do this this application of the Dirabonon, but I would not be able to do that directly through a Jew or myself. Let's look at our next concept. The next concept is Mimareach. This is taking a hard substance and spreading it out, smoothing over something which is a problem as well. What are the common applications of this? So ointments, creams, toothpaste, wax, all these types of things are problems on the mareach. Can I use a thicker substance to block a hole? Let's say I'm just trying to block up a hole, which I'll use wax. The answer is no. I may not do that. What about food? So there's no problem of mareach by food, which is why you can spread cream cheese on Shabbos. Our next melacha is melacha lamed aleph 31, which is mechateich, which is precise cutting to shape. It's not ripping, that's korea. Mechateich is cutting to shape. So is cutting allowed by food? The answer is no problem. You can cut food. What about cutting for preparation of animal foods? Also not a problem as well. What about to break cinnamon net spices to smell? Let's say a stick of cinnamon. Can I break it to smell it? The answer is no problem. What about breaking a piece of straw to use as a toothpick? This is considered related to eating and is allowed. One's not doing it to a precise measure. One's just using it to have a point. What is a common application of where it's not allowed? So there are many poskim who suggest that, let's say, cutting along a perforated or already serrated edge of something is a problem. So, for instance, one's not allowed to cut foil along on the blade of the foil box. Similarly, many poskim also point out that, let's say, I have a packet which has been unopened on Shabbos. This gets back to one of the things we discussed last time, about opening packages. So a lot of times there's a dotted line that then when I open it, I'm going along that dotted line, or it's a perforated line. That is considered mechateich. That's a problem. Similarly, many poskim say that soda cans, the soda can has a circular pre-cut area, which is thinner, so when one pulls the loop higher, it opens up specifically on that line. According to many poskim, there is mechatech in such an issue, and so one should be careful about not using soda cans. There are soda bottles. Soda cans are more of a problem. This is an application of mechatech. We now move to our last melacha today, and that is Ksiva Mechika, writing and erasing. These are Melachos Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel 32 and 33. So let's look at a few practical applications of these melachas. Can I make letters or an image with juice on the table? This oftentimes with kids. There's a little bit of extra juice on the table and they start using their fingers and writing out letters. That is not allowed. Similarly, can I draw letters in steam on the window? The answer is not allowed, but it isn't permanent. So permanent is biblically prohibited, but temporary is rabbinically prohibited. This is not like kosher. People seem to think that somehow things work the same way. It's not 24 hours. It doesn't matter. Writing two letters is a problem. That's considered ksiva. What about making a letter or a mark with my nail in a softer substance? This is still an issue. What about removing wax that fell on a page in a book? That's a problem of moichek, of erasing, because oftentimes when I pull up the wax, what comes with it is a little bit of the ink, and that is erasing it. What am I not allowed to erase? I'm not allowed to erase anything. I'm not allowed to write. What happens if we have a cake which has writing on it, or is in the shape or a number of a letter, or a letter? So it may be cut and eaten. It's important to note the Mishnah Berurah does add that if the letters were not part of the cake, but are icing, or let's say letters on top of one, may not cut through those letters, one may bite through them, one should try to cut between them in those situations. The Kitzur does acknowledge there was sometimes a segula. There was a sort of a method that people used to like have the child eat, you know, particular letters on the cake. If that's the case, then one has to be more careful, because then there's actually a to'eles, a benefit from that writing as well. Now, what about words which are written on the side of the book or the pages of a book? This is oftentimes when one gets a public library book. The library usually has their stamp along the pages so it doesn't get misplaced. So the Kitzur points out some allow it, some disallow it. He points out the common practice is to allow it, but one should be machmir not to read such books. A very easy fix is just to take a page before Shabbos, like a sheet of paper, and place it in the book through the middle of the writing, so that the words are already broken by the time Shabbos comes in. So when one opens and closes the book on Shabbos, one's not making or forming or deforming those letters on Shabbos. Now, it happens to be the prohibition of writing has many rabbinic extensions. One very big one is doing business. One is not allowed to do business or measure on Shabbos as a function of writing, because oftentimes when one measures, that leads to writing. Right? That's one of the big things. Business is not allowed because of this. Now, so if I want to get some food, let's say I want to get from a friend, I'm not just borrowing it, but I want to pay a little more significant amount of food or liquid from some of a friend, and I'm going to pay him back after Shabbos. How am I able to convey this? So what way am I not allowed to ask? So one cannot ask by saying, you know, you measure out in your vessel and pour into my cup. One is not allowed to do that, because that's measuring, and it's clearly for the purpose of sale. One can also not say the specific measure. One cannot say, I want to have 50 fluid ounces. One can also not mention the price. But what is allowed? One is allowed to say, fill up this cup with oil, even though it happens to be a measuring cup. And one can even say to them, fill up to the line and tomorrow we'll measure it. And that's like, you know, giving a nod to the fact that there's going to be some sort of recompense, but one's not dealing with that right now at all. I forgot to mention, we're going to do one last couplet over here, and that's Havara Mechabeh, which is lighting and extinguishing a candle. And obviously this should be pretty obvious to anybody who's dealing with Shabbos, but happens to be that there's a few extra little details which you're not familiar with, and that is, can one use oil candles on Shabbos? The answer is yes, absolutely. Oil candles have been done throughout the course of Jewish history. The issue is about reading to the light of one, because one may be tempted to tip it to bring more oil and fuel to it. Is it allowed, disallowed in all cases? The answer is no. If it's easy reading, no problem. But if it's, let's say it's very complicated, small print, it's hard concepts, one is not allowed to use an oil lamp, unless it's two people sitting next to each other, because they're going to remind each other not to do that. What about wax? So there's no problem with wax today, because it doesn't need adjusting, it doesn't help, and same thing with electricity as well. What other precautions do I need to take around candles? So one has to be careful not to open doors or windows near candles, because I don't want them to go out. Same with an oven, which has a fire in it, and to fully close it or open it is a problem. This refers to old ovens that used to have coal, but now modern ovens, the issue isn't really that as much. It's more of the thermostat which will trigger on and off, and that is a problem. That's not going to be a problem of Mechabe Mavir, that's a problem of electricity. With this, we conclude our section, the fourth section of the Melachos of Shabbos. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.